Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That was at the end of the year. John Paxson talking after the season ended. And at that point, it looked as if the three alphas would be back. But alpha number one was traded and alpha number three was let go. So,
and they're hoping alpha number two takes a buyout that's favorable to the team. And then you're...
when you call him alpha number two, are you making some allusion to...
No, they call me three.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't... He's more number two than number three.
Yeah, unfortunately, but he's also got $24 million coming in.
Yes, 24 million reasons to play. And he would love to get a buyout, but again, John said that that would have to be... that would have to be good for the team, and it doesn't look like there's anything that would be good for the team in terms of getting him out. But, you know, again, we talked about the NBA, and the latest news is Gordon Hayward going to the Celtics on a four-year, $128 million deal. And I guess the big news in the NBA is that the Bulls got the two-year, $9 million deal with Justin Holiday. He returns to the core, so that's good.
Holding your breath.
That's
Nico.
Not the big news, but it's interesting, I think, because Dustin said something earlier when we were talking in the 5 at 5 that really kind of caught my attention. He said that to him the biggest offseason story was what's going on in Cleveland, LeBron, and what happens next year. And I think what really has stood out to me, there's a lot of things that have stood out to me about this NBA offseason. Number one, that they're so relevant and that there's so much interest in the NBA and that they're breaking so much news. But number two, every move that is being made here, every single one is looked through the prism of next season. Every time something happens, we talk about, oh, Paul George is now getting together with Russell Westbrook. Does that mean both of them then go to Los Angeles? Does that mean after their year, they put in their year in OKC? Yeah. Is it possible that we see, oh, LeBron's going to be with the Lakers? We know there's going to be this move west and everybody's getting together. And it's all these teams that seem to be, all these players trying to create super teams, but in kind of destination places.
Yeah.
And it is a different way of looking at the NBA, where every move is seen as, well, does that mean LeBron's going to leave because he didn't like that? Well, they couldn't do this and they couldn't do that. And the Celtics have put together their version of a team that's going to challenge. You think about it, the Celtics getting Gordon Hayward, that's great. He's a great player. I really like Gordon Hayward, and he's a
but
very good player.
But he's that next-tier player. He's not the superstar guys going the other way.
They're a better team with him
than
they were without him. And they get the number one draft pick. So you get the number – well, not number one. They trade it down to three. But you get a very high draft pick, and you get Gordon Hayward added to a group that got to the Eastern Conference Finals, although, I mean, not a very good group, but
no,
whatever.
Cleveland seeded them the top slot.
But Danny Ainge, he hangs on to his draft picks. He doesn't trade any of the big draft picks. He doesn't make a move. He doesn't want Paul George. He doesn't want to go for it this year.
He doesn't want Jimmy Butler.
There are other moves they could have made, but he instead is hanging on to his assets because he's looking down the road for when LeBron leaves the Eastern Conference or when there's just a clear opening to a final series.
Or if it's just LeBron and Kevin Love. Or
right. You know, who winds up on that team? And who's and there is dysfunction going on with that organization like you read about. But it just seems like every single move is connected to a long-term plan somehow, and everybody is looking down the road with the league. It's a totally different animal than the league that we covered.
Well, yeah, no doubt about it. And so then when you look at Durant, you mentioned, you know, taking less money. Well, eventually, is he going to be happy, you know, being
underpaid?
How long
can you keep that group
right
together? That's unbelievable that he
right
did that.
Because if he's still going to be happy there in a couple of years and there's, you know, then they still have their core together, does it matter if LeBron and Paul George end up with the Lakers is that going to be good enough to get through, even to get to a –
With Klay Thompson, by the way. He's the next guy that's going to leave, and he'll eventually join everybody in L.A. It's the L.A. party, man. Everybody is going to wind up going –
Meanwhile, the Clippers are talking to Derek.
The Clippers are talking to Derek Rose.
Oh, you know, Tibbs didn't even want to talk to Derek Rose. I mean, think about that. He's getting every bull possible. Ex-Bull to put on a T-Wolves uniform. That's
poor Derek.
Yeah, but to hear Gordon Hayward, okay, he's not that super. He's an all-star player. He's a great player, but he's not Durant, not even Paul George, right? I mean, he's going the other way because, one, he's getting out of Salt Lake City and heading to an actual city.
Reunion with his old coach.
Makes all the sense in the world. And he looks at least I can have the opportunity to get to an NBA final. As you said, a year from now, 2 years from now, if LeBron or when LeBron moves on, they're positioning themselves to be that top seed in the and not a faux top seed, like a legit top seed that could at least be in the conversation for an NBA championship.
He met with the Jazz in San Diego, and guess who turned up? Pat Riley. Pat Riley, oh, I just happened to be out here.
Hey, what's
it's
going
like
on?
Pat Riley was stalking him.
Sure.
Wanted him to head down to Miami. I think it's good to have a guy like Riley involved. It makes you feel better about your signing.
You're getting Chris Bosh off the books. You know, you're trying to do something of relevance down there. Again, with the eye that LeBron is not going to be in retiring in Cleveland, right? If you were betting today, I would say it's safe money that he won't be there after this season. That he's took care of business, got them a championship.
Right.
You know, that not happy with how things are being handled. He and the owner don't even talk or whatever, but he took care of fixing what he left broken. Why does he have to stick around now if he wants to, his final years in the NBA to make another run at this thing?
Do you think if LeBron leaves that the people of Cleveland will be forgiving, or do you think
they'll
burn his jerseys again?
They ought to be.
Well, and the other thing is, by leaving the first time and starting a trend of kind of buddy play or super team, whatever way you want to term it, didn't he kind of steal everyone for the next one? You know, when you break up with your first girlfriend and she breaks your heart, you got to get over it. It takes some long nights. By the second time around, you're like, yeah, it's going to take some long nights. You've been through it. You understand what it means. But this time he's not coming back. There's no way he's coming back.
No. And,
and if he does, he'd be a shadow of what he once was.
And, they're sitting there, okay, he's upset with the GM situation and all that. But, look, he told them to get rid of Wiggins to go get Kevin Love, right? They were still doing whatever they thought was necessary to keep LeBron happy. And it worked out for a year, but it's not going to work out moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics are a better team, but I still don't think they're good enough to beat Cleveland. If Cleveland gets their act together, they got a lot of decisions to make. I would be very careful about bringing Melo in, which was one of the big rumors, and if they did so, they'd have to get rid of Kevin Love, and that exchange makes no sense at all. And
plus, does a Melo have a trade kicker in there, like for a ridiculous amount of money? Like
Melo's contract is insane.
It's ridiculous to begin with, yeah.
Yeah, so don't really care about the Knicks, Sad that Phil left just because it was fun to see him there. But just the NBA offseason has been something I don't even know how to define it. It's just I don't think we've ever seen an offseason like this. And man, you can't help but wonder as you look at it. And I don't know the answer to this. Dustin wonders, what would the Bulls have looked like now if Rondo had not gotten hurt and the Bulls had beaten the Celtics in the playoffs?
Okay, were they getting through Cleveland?
Well, they would have gotten to Cleveland.
Yeah.
They were going to get through the Wizards.
But isn't
it's a bad team?
Isn't the idea still to win an NBA championship, not just to get through and just to get to?
If you get to Cleveland and LeBron twists an ankle, what were they without LeBron? I'm not saying the goal is to cheer for injury.
That's your organizational plan. We can do this much, and then, by the way, we need something bad to happen to the superstar on the other team.
Toronto's kept their team together, right?
Good luck.
Every
year they're supposed to be.
Are they not trying to win if they're keeping the team together and doing that? Are they just trying to fill some butts in the seats?
Aren't they just?
How many teams want to win in the NBA?
Right.
Is Houston trying to win? Are they? They're seriously interested in winning.
Right.
But have they done enough, and are they far enough along?
It seems like you can only do so much, and then you need help.
Is Oklahoma City close to winning now? Are they going to challenge in the Western Conference? They're trying to. They're making an effort to try to challenge, right? Is Minnesota closer? Sure. Are they going to make a dent in the Western Conference? See, the problem is with Durant taking less money and making sure that the entire team is back Well, I mean, that seems like an insurmountable.
Yeah, you're not talking
mountain.
About guys on their last legs. You're talking about guys in the prime of
their
career.
You're talking about young
guys,
and you're hoping for injuries. Now but you're hoping something goes, somebody twists an ankle or a knee goes or whatever.
That's why there's no middle class in the NBA anymore. It's either trust the process and you're rebuilding and trying to get as many draft picks. And where are the Bulls on this scale of 1-2? We're never going to be the Golden State Warriors.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. We come back from the break. We'll bring in Len Kasper. We'll find out his thoughts on what happened with the All-Star game and where the Cubs are going. When does this finally kind of click? When will it happen?
This segment of the show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of The Score. Len Kasper joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline, your CarX man. Has air conditioning performance checks starting at $19.99. Good morning, Len. How are you?
Good morning, guys. A belated happy 4th.
Yeah, it's a glorious holiday, and yet it was sad to see the Cubs kind of waste a John Lester start. I understand that Tampa's not as bad as people would assume. They're a pretty decent team, and Chris Archer's awful good. But, boy, you rework the calendar, so Lester gets a couple starts, and man, you just got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, it was that one bad inning in the 4th, and nice comeback late. Just fell a little bit short. You know, the defense wasn't great in big moments, but yeah, Tampa Bay's good. You know, they're an underrated club in the American League, and a team that nobody's talking about. I like their offense. They can score some runs, and they didn't even have their slugging first baseman in the lineup yesterday, Logan Morrison, who will no doubt be in the lineup today.
You know, Len, when the constant from Joe has been, it's going to come together, it's going to happen, and a lot of the players were echoing that for weeks, that don't worry, we're all too good hitters. The offense in particular is going to come together, the starting pitching is going to settle down. And yesterday you hear John Lester say, well, guess what? You know, every mistake we make as a pitcher, well, we pay for because the offense hasn't come together. And he welcomes whatever moves the front office might have in mind and says that could be a boost to the clubhouse. Chris Bryant says, yeah, that'd be great. It just seems like their frustration might be turning to the point where they're looking for help now, too.
Well, you know, I think every team that is in this position and that knows that it's, you know, playoff worthy, I think all the guys in the clubhouse would welcome any sort of help they can get. You know, you're facing a guy who I think is at the top of a lot of people's list around baseball, and Chris Archer. JD and I were talking about it. If you look at how affordable he is with club options, you know, he's basically controllable through 2021, I believe, at a pretty reasonable rate. So there are teams out there who I'm sure are going to be calling the Rays saying, you know, what would it take to get him? The two problems are, if you're the Cubs and if you're interested in Chris Archer, and I don't know what sort of interest you would have, will the Rays be interested in moving him? Or is he a guy that they decide, look, he's going to be kind of the face of our pitching staff here for several years to come. We think we've got a pretty good shot in the American League. And I just feel like you're going to have to give up a lot to get a guy like him. And ideally, if you do acquire a starting pitcher, it is someone you definitely have beyond this season. So, you know, it's going to come down to Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer kind of looking at this club and what are the chances that not only you get to the playoffs, and I think there are very good chances the Cubs are going to be the best team in this division when it's all said and done, but how deep can you go in the playoffs and how much are you willing to give up in terms of inventory in your system to make that happen? I believe it's in the pitching staff. I think position player-wise, you're going to go with the group you have. This is your nucleus. So it remains to be seen kind of what the Cubs would have to give up to really make a go-for-it type move.
And, you know, maybe a wiser idea is to go with a veteran player that's making a ton of money, and absorbing that could be part of any kind of deal you make, and that
would be
Verlander, right? I mean, everybody's...
Yeah, that's the Jake Arrieta money without the 5 or 7 year contract. You get 2 years of that and see how it plays out.
Yeah, you know, that's another possibility where you're taking on salary and keeping your prospects. You know, you're still going to have to give up something to get somebody like him. It's a fascinating time, I think, to be a Cub fan, to be a Cub executive, to try to figure out what you're willing to part with. And remember, and I think we've talked about this before, you know, the Aroldis Chapman deal was not made to win the division. In fact, there was nothing about that move that had regular season written all over it. It was all about, once we get to the playoffs, we feel like this is the last area where we need to close games. And they were willing to give up Gleyber Torres, one of their best prospects, in order to do it. And they won a World Series, so it worked. So this year, you've got a different dynamic. You've got a different ball club, a club that really hasn't gelled yet in terms of a long winning streak where there's any sort of separation. And, in fact, it's going in the other direction right now. The Cubs are, what, 3.5 games behind Milwaukee. So as interesting as what the Cubs will do, to me, is what, or if anything, the Brewers might do, because they're in a much different boat in terms of their rebuild. Will they part with some guys they believe will be a part of their long-term success in order to make a go-for-it move here in 2017? So as much as what the Cubs might do, guys, I think it's what the Brewers may or may not do that could affect this division as well.
And Mully mentioned it, you know, when you talk about you have to have those John Lester outings at Wrigley, you have to go, end up in the win column. What do you do with John Lackey now? Because he hasn't been very good and certainly hasn't been very good at Wrigley, and I think, 22-23% of his fly balls end up in the bleachers. You know, I don't know how, given your issues with starting pitching, I don't know how much more leeway you can give him to give him the ball every 4 or 5 days. I don't know what the alternative is, but, you know, it's almost, you can count on two or three home runs in an outing for him at this point.
Well, he's got to be better. I think he knows it. I think everybody knows it as well. And if this team is going to win this division, they're going to need the rotation in general to be better. Getting Hendricks back out of the break could be enormous. But you kind of answered your own question, Brian. Right now, you know, with the depth or lack thereof, this is the group you've got until you make an acquisition. You're going to go with Butler and Montgomery and Lackey. And then again, when Hendricks comes back, we'll bump one of those guys, probably Eddie Butler or Montgomery, if you feel like Montgomery's better off in the bullpen. But I like what I've seen from Mike in the rotation, so that could be a good problem to have. But I think John is pretty secure in this rotation for at least a while.
Kyle Schwarber projected to be back by the weekend. I mean, here's a guy that has gotten it done, you know, went down with a serious attitude and has put up the numbers and now seems ready to come back. Any projection for him? Any idea what to expect from him when that happens?
I haven't heard anything officially or even unofficially internally in terms on when it would be. But I do think, based on what I've heard, that everyone likes what he's done and kind of how he has attacked this challenge going back to AAA. So, you know, I wish I had a crystal ball, Mike, that would tell you, you know, he's going to come back and hit 300 and hit the ball out of the ballpark. I do think that every once in a while something like this can really have an impact on a guy. I think of Marcell Ozuna of the Marlins a couple of years ago. I think he went down for maybe a month, and the next year he was an all-star, and he's an all-star again. So, you know, these things do happen, and as Theo has said, you know, progress isn't always linear, and in Kyle Schwarber's case, I do think down the road this will be looked at as merely a bump in the road and not necessarily a defining moment in his career.
Glenn, we'll let you go. Just curious on the way out, the All-Star stuff. I mean, we've talked before about Anthony Rizzo. I was saying earlier, I can't imagine, regardless of the numbers, an All-Star game without Chris Bryant in it. It just seems like what an oversight. But he is right now trailing in the march to be the last player in, and who knows? I guess, you know, Joe at least is in charge, so there should be some cancellations. Maybe you end up with a couple Cubs, although there is this feeling it'd be nice to have everyone with some days off, maybe.
Yeah, it's both, right? I think Rizzo, for me, just kind of, you know, because he's from Florida, has been an all-star 3 years in a row. Would have been really cool for him to play in that game. But, yeah, the rest part of it, I think, is selfishly, as a Cub fan, important. The entire coaching staff will be there, by the way, so really great honor for the Cubs after winning the World Series. I just like the fact that the World Series isn't tied in anymore, right?
Let's yes.
Yeah.
Have fun, watch the game, whatever happens, happens, and you don't have to worry about it affecting anything. Although the Cubs not having home field advantage may have played to their advantage last year because they did have Schwarber for those four starts as the DH. So funny how life works.
All righty. Thanks so much. Good catching up with you, Len.
All right. Talk to you guys next week. Thanks.
All right, pal. That is Len Casper joining us from
yesterday. He and JD were going over the deferred money for Bobby Bonilla. Did you hear that one?
Still deferred, getting paid.
Five, awesome. Deferred $5 or $6 million, and he's going to make about $30 million when it's all said and done. He gets basically $1 million a year for the next, you know, forever.
Not a bad deal.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Casey Johnson joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man is air conditioning performance checks starting at $19.99. He is the basketball man of the Chicago Tribune. KC, how are you?
What's going on, guys? Happy 4th.
God bless you. It is. I got to tell you, you know, there used to be a thing called an off season. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but there are more NBA headlines. And you know, here's the thing: they got you hooked now. Because all the moves are about next year too.
Yeah,
so you know, for 2 years we're going to be staring at this.
Yeah, it's the NBA loves it. The off season's gotten, if not more popular, you know, crazier than the regular season. And yeah, this is always the busiest time of the year. You go from the draft to free agency, and then you know, summer league. The Bulls got to defend that summer league championship. We're heading to Vegas this weekend for summer league, so there's always a lot going on.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Casey. You're having an all-star offseason already because there's a lot of fallout or storylines from the Bulls blowing this thing up and you know, post-Jimmy Butler now. And the story that really caught my eye the other day was that Fred was none too happy with continued comments from Pax in particular about, you know, his coaching abilities and how he's going to need help and all that. And he came armed with numbers and statistics, and we develop players as well as anybody. How does this dynamic play out now? Because they had a clearing of the air. Is he looking for guidance from the front office, or is he basically telling him, clear out and let me do my job?
I think it was more just that Fred, you know, it was a one-day thing. They met, and Fred said it described it as a very positive meeting and that they're on the same page now. And I think it's just significant in the sense that, you know, Fred obviously has a public perception of not – kind of being a pushover and not really standing up for himself. So the fact that he voiced his frustration with that comment to John Paxson, they met, they agreed to move forward, with this young team. I think it's significant. And you know, like I said, like you pointed out, Brian, I asked a question about, you know, how did you feel like you fared, you know, juggling the dual goals of trying to remain competitive and or make the playoffs while using young players in your rotation? And, I mean, he had advanced analytics, like, at the ready. And, you know, he didn't know that question was coming. So I think that speaks to how passionate and how competitive Fred is on the subject. And now that they're going into a full rebuild situation, you know, you're going to need, obviously, more of that from the young players. And I do think, you know, the storyline that there were inconsistent rotations was a legitimate one. Now, in Fred's defense, he's like, get me better players, and I would have had a more consistent rotation. But, you know, I do think that affected some of the young guys at times last season. And I think now that you're in a full rebuild situation, you're going to see a little bit more defined roles this coming season.
Do NBA players have too much power, Casey?
You know, that's a great question, Mike, and I've been asked talking about that with some people within the league, you know, while I've been making calls during free agency and stuff. I don't know if they have too much power, but, yeah, it's a tough time in the sense that players are clearly trying to define where they're going, and they're, you know, using relationships and friends to recruit, and, you know, the super team is a legitimate thing. Now, I think for the most part, super teams have been pretty good for the league. I personally loved watching the Heat play. personally love watching the Warriors play, so I don't have a huge problem if you're a free agent and you earn that right to choose where you go, hooking up with other great players. You know, I think where you need to draw the line is, you know, and I know the Bulls are kind of getting maybe a little bit, some of the email I've gotten is that they're getting a little bit killed for this, but I think where you guys draw the line is when a guy's got a contract. And, you know, Jamal Crawford now is going to be in a similar situation where he's probably may get bought out by Atlanta. He'll be in a similar situation to the one I'm bringing up with Dwayne Wade. You know, if a guy's under contract, there's got to be some concession on his end if he wants to go play somewhere else. And I think the Bulls made that abundantly clear publicly that it's not going to be a small number for Dwayne Wade if he wants to go somewhere else. And, again, to this point, there's been no definitive indications that that's what he wants to do, but there's certainly been a lot of speculation. So in that sense, I kind of support the teams. If you're under contract and you want to go play for, you know, I saw where Jamal wants to go play for the Warriors. Well, I'd like to go play for the Warriors, you know. So I think in that sense, teams need to probably draw a hard line on that situation.
When do the Bulls start adding to the young group? When do they start getting, you know, trying to get the best free agents out there? Is that 2 years down the line, 3 years? And how does the D-Wade situation, how they handle that, play into whatever recruiting he may or may not do even in the upcoming season?
Also an interesting topic, yeah. Obviously, it depends a little bit with how they progress in terms of the rebuild. My guess would be, you know, 2 or 3 years. All you've heard from John and Gar is that you need to add the right veterans. And look, this is a very minor signing, and this is not part of the broader picture, but Justin Holiday fits right in there, and people think he's young, and he's on younger, but he's older than Jimmy Butler. He's 28, and I think he's a nice little small piece for what they're doing the next couple of years. That's not big picture title stuff that we're talking about there, but he's that kind of right veteran that they're talking about, just a guy who's very coachable, very adept at whatever role you put him in, coming off the bench, starting. But as far as the big splashes, yeah, I think you're talking, I would guess, probably 3 years away. And, yeah, I mean, the Bulls, that's been their albatross, is, you know, failing to land the primary target in free agency. It happened in 2010, obviously, with LeBron, and in 14 with Carmelo. I think it's been a little bit overstated because they have been able to move on and get some nice pieces in free agency, but Dwayne is a powerful guy in the NBA, got a lot of friends. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be impossible with Dwayne. I think both Dwayne, my sense of Dwayne just being around for 1 year, is he's incredibly professional and incredibly savvy about the NBA. So I think whatever conclusion he and the Bulls reach, I think it'll be very professionally handled.
What's the biggest surprise to you so far among all these things? Is it, what is it?
There's just so many moves.
Right.
You know, I actually mildly surprised Hayward left. I know there's a lot of speculation that he was going to go to Boston because of Brad Stevens, but, you know, I just kind of felt like he was that kind of, you know, he'd been in a mid-major college at Butler, and Utah is such a unique market because it is, it's the only thing in town, and he was such a big fish in a smaller pond, and it's just a really strong community, and it's a really strong team, and that's a hell of a coach, man. Quinn Snyder is unbelievable, and you know, obviously Brad Stevens is too. I personally was a little bit surprised by that, just because I really think Utah was doing things the right way, and they've got a very competitive GM in Dennis Lindsay. So I know, again, there was a lot of speculation. I really thought he was going to stay in Utah, so that would probably be my biggest one.
If you're betting today, Casey, is LeBron a Cavalier after this season?
I mean, the speculation's there for a reason. And, you know, look at his public stuff since the Gilbert firing. I mean, he's clearly still not happy about it, and they can't even get a GM in there right now, so... it seems like he's been a little bit distant from the organization. So I think this how this season plays out will play a major factor in that decision. But, boy, that would be the best thing going for the Bulls if he were to leave the conference. You know, I think it's a lot depends on this season. If they're still the best team in the East, Boston's going to be right there again. But if they don't, you know, win a championship or a very competitive championship and or make the right GM hire and or the right moves, then I think you're looking at a very likely situation where that happens.
You ever hear of a guy like Durant taking a pay cut so they can keep the team together? That's a pretty good guy to get, huh?
Well, Dwayne Wade did it. I mean, not to this extent.
Right.
Dwayne Wade did it more than once in Miami, and that's why, you know, I don't think anybody was surprised when he opted in to get his full $23.8 million this season because, I mean, obviously he's made a lot of money in his career, but he's also given some back. And
yeah, the Bulls should pay for those Miami titles.
But that was a pretty significant decrease. Now, obviously, he's still very well paid, and endorsement-wise, does okay for himself, and obviously recognizes the situation that he has there. But you know, Iguodala to me has been so critical to some of those championships, and you know, it was nice to see him get paid, and also, you know, nice to see Durant kind of help keep the band together like he did.
What's the number that Nico's going to have to accept from the Bulls in terms of years, maybe more so than money?
Yeah, I think it's actually more the years. I have not gotten hard numbers from either side while trying to report that story. But, look, I mean, the Felicio thing happened 1 minute into free agency. So it's not like, you know, it's not like the Bulls and Nico weren't talking before free agency. He was their own player. If they had hit out a number or a length of deal, it would have been announced as quickly as Felicio was. So all I've been told is that they're not far apart, and it's a gap that there's confidence that can still be bridged. I don't get the sense the Bulls are going to cave too much on this because I feel like they probably have some other moves in mind if that one doesn't work out. And I will say that, man, there's a lot of people that are getting to me via email and social media that are not big fans of bringing Nico back. I think people have kind of reached their limit with his inconsistencies because the overall, again, generally speaking, but the overall sense I've gotten from fans is that they're kind of done with the Nico experiment.
Yeah, they need him though to tutor the big fin, you know.
Well, they need him. They need him because they still don't have much shooting. I mean, Holiday's a nice addition. Shot 35% from three last year. You know, Markkanen obviously projects to do that, but hasn't played a lick in the NBA yet. You know, they still don't have much shooting now. I think they have improved their athleticism. But with if LaVine comes back healthy, obviously, and Dunn is a bona fide athlete, great body, great defender, long. But he's not a shooter. LaVine's obviously a better shooter. Shot very well from three last year, but he's not going to be ready till, I don't know, what, January, February. So, you know, they still need shooting. And Nico, as maddening as he can be, defenses have to know where he is. And you watch it, even in times where he's struggling, that's the case. So I think if they can get something done on the terms that fit for them, I think you'll see him back.
KC, we'll let you go. Must watch Summer League, right? They're going to get to a point
heading
where
to Vegas.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I will be there for the big opener on Saturday. I don't even know who they play. Don't quiz me on that.
I'm excited about it, but then I've got a disease. So
going to catch two games out there. Dunn will be playing. Markkanen will be playing. So,
Portis and some of these other guys, or are they just they're veteran enough they don't have to?
Denzel's
definitely playing. He's going to be playing a lot.
Yeah.
Portis is not on the roster. He may be practice with them, but he's not going to be playing in the game. So, yeah, as we close towards the back-to-back Summer League Championship, you can have me on and we can break it down.
Awesome, buddy. All right.
You'll
get up early in Vegas.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
See you, KC. Take
care.
That is KC Johnson, the basketball man from the Chicago Tribune. We're going to take a timeout, and when we come back, we've got a big hour left. We'll talk to Chris Bosio, find out what's going on. We'll talk to Brian Hedger and find out if the Hawks are better and what Sharpie means. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.